This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. Someone sent me a message. They said, have you ever been so angry at somebody that you wish they were eating Enterprise Viennas in a Ford Cougar while charging their Samsung Note 8 outside a Spur while listening to Jacaranda wearing a red overall with an H&M Smartest Monkey t-shirt while KPMG is auditing them and Steinhoff is watching their investments and there's a can of doom in the armrest?
Yo, how's that?
Everything, right? They left nothing out there.
Don't think I've ever hated someone that much.
Yes.
But the night is funny. Still young.
Yeah. All right, it is just after 6 o'clock. It's Thursday already. My God, this week has just rushed by, huh?
Wow. I thought I was the only one.
Yes. All right, Roscoe says, please add Chromecast support to the app. When I'm home, I'd prefer to listen to you guys over loudspeakers. That's interesting. I mentioned it yesterday, but we are doing an upgrade of the CliffCentral.com app, and that'll be available soon. There's also a bunch of podcasts that are doing really well at the moment. If you want to listen to some of them, they are available on CliffCentral.com. And you can basically look up anybody and you'll find something on most of the well-known South Africans, most of the people who've been in the news. You'll find something. And as I mentioned, there are a couple of big interviews coming. I just spoke yesterday to Tracy Going. You remember Tracy Going from TV News and Radio News? She was on Metro. She was on SABC Television. She was on Kaya for a while, and Tracy Going has decided to put into writing her story of the last 18 years. You'll remember she was beaten up by that ex-boyfriend of hers. Do you remember that?
Mm.
It was an ugly, nasty, vicious, horrible chapter in her life, and I think for many South Africans it was just kind of an illustration of how this sort of thing can happen even to people who are on television, people who are, you know, well known to all of us. It's not just, you know, women who are dealing with this in quiet and in private. So it was a fascinating discussion, and I think you'll really enjoy it. I thought she was an interesting interview to have. And that'll come up soon. Today, the burning platform with Justice Malala. Everybody's very excited. It's been too long. There's lots to catch up on. So Justice in just after 7 o'clock. This morning.
A lot going on.
Damn right.
So we definitely need Justice in these times, to say the least.
Well, yeah, he's been away for 2 weeks. He was over in Los Angeles. So he wasn't able to join us for the last 2 weeks.
Do you know what he was doing there? Seems like an injustice thing.
You never know with Justice. You never
What if he was there for
know.
The Oscars, you know?
Well, exactly.
What if he had a hit?
For all we know... Justice is very mysterious when he does his traveling.
What if he tried to steal that Oscar at that point?
Maybe it was him. Imagine if it was him. God, that would be funny. Hey, which artist became the first ever to win a Grammy? You speak about the Oscars. Which artist was the first ever to win a Grammy from a streaming-only album? Can you tell me?
Oh.
Chance.
Yes, correct. Oh, how did you know that? Rapper, philanthropist, producer, and singer Chance the Rapper. Now you can catch him along with Shane Eagle, Nadia Nakai, and Frank Casino in the Castle Light Unlocks concert, which is at the Ticket Pro Dome in Joburg, 30th of April. You've got a month and a half, and don't leave it to the last minute. The next day is a public holiday, so there's no reason to miss out. Did you know that? You look at your calendar.
30th.
Yes, 30th of April.
Will we technically be working on the 1st?
No.
Oh. Great.
You can go.
Sign me up for that Chance concert.
30th of April, so the next day is the 1st of May. That's Workers' Day.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Get your tickets now at CompuTicket for the Castle Light Unlocks concert. You don't want to miss out on the Castle Light Unlocks exclusive. You can find out more by following that hashtag on social media. That's hashtag Castle Light Unlocks. Find a whole lot of interesting info there. See, I gave you a whole bunch of listener emails and things that I wanted to get to today. Have you got them or did you just forget? Sometimes this happens. I keep them on my desk for like a week and I'm like, I must do this. And I know Sia's responsible. So I go, Sia, will you give them to me tomorrow morning? And then he keeps them and he forgets.
Oh,
this is how things go. All right. So first of all, this one's from McGill who says, And McGill has got, this is a list of all the podcasts he's got on his laptop. Look at this, my bunny. Huge, right?
Yeah, that's quite a lot.
I'm listening to part one of Thursday, 22 February. 2018. Ben briefly said we should have a flashback moment, so I thought I have a good one to start with. There was a great argument with Gareth and Flax on October the 18th at 8 minutes into the podcast. Wow. Yes, it's McGill. This is amazing, dude. It's hilarious, and Gareth is relentless. Shame, poor Flax. I do miss him sometimes. He was very bold, especially the way he stepped into Damon's chair with ease. I remember when Gareth put Damon out of the booth and instructed Flax to continue in his play. Do you remember that?
Oh, man.
I felt bad for Damon, but ultimately, like the good king he is, Gareth made the right choice and the show became stronger. Once you become part of the clergy, your stock goes up from CS at 5FM through Tabo Modisani, Leanne, Flax, Bashida, Amanda, now even Ben and Sia. Mabale has been there since the start. I know she is the queen of the studio. That's right. So, although this is the best cast in the history of radio, I knew I grew up with radio and I'm 43. Gareth is the director. I never miss a show and absolutely love you guys, your loyal follower, McGill. But look at these podcasts. That's what blew me away here.
Oh my goodness.
He's got a store of podcasts you can't believe.
Three different columns.
Yeah. Hey, here's one from Pilile Makanya. I'm one of the medical students being trained in Cuba. It's my last year now, and I'm coming back to South Africa in 4 months. I must say your podcasts are a breath of fresh air. I love the way you put together your show, cater for everybody. And by you, I mean the team at large. I must say, having been this side of the world for the last 6 years has its ups and downs. But ever since I discovered podcasts, I'm like, bring it on. Your show, you know someday, I'd love to clear up the controversy on South Africa and Cuba and the medical training program, because so many media people give us the most shit and don't know anything because our Department of Health allows them to. If you guys only knew the truth. Anyway, I wanted to thank you for making my days brighter. Sia, Ben, and Mabale, I love your realness. Your attitude towards everything gives me life. In short, I wish you well. Sorry, Gareth, I know you're dying for someone to give you a bucket load of shit, but nah. So far, you're all too good to hate on. Well, that's very nice. That's from Pilile.
Pilile must come to the studio when she's back. In the country.
Please come back.
She can tell us stuff we don't know about Cuba.
Yeah, come and see us. We'd love to talk to you. And here's from Leighton in Death Valley in Cape Town. Well, Death Valley is Cape Town because there's no water.
I knew it. I knew it'd go down that road.
It was cool hearing about your story, Sia, and Gareth's story about his holiday, but it's great having you both back. I'm so aware of something that I think is incredible, which I think you guys would also appreciate. Dave Chappelle and John Mayer did 3 combined 2-hour shows last year. This is crazy to me, more because I'm a massive fan of both of them. Apparently the show starts with John Mayer doing a short solo set. He then calls Chappelle out on stage, who does a stand-up set. Thereafter they do a combined freestyle set with them talking shit and riffing. I was aware the two of them have been friends for years. Mayer did a couple of skits with Chappelle back in the Chappelle show days. But this concept is so different. Another aspect that makes this so wild to me and respect and revere for Dave, and makes me so wild and respectful and reverent of Dave Chappelle is how he goes about his thing. With his Netflix deal and after having been off the grid for years, he basically repositioned himself as the benchmark in stand-up. Now, that's true. Even Kevin Hart, who's been killing it for a few years now, admits Dave is on another level. That contract also set his net worth at $20 million a pop for one of his specials, so $60 million for 3, 2 of which he had recorded years ago and just banked. So everyone might have been like, he's rectified his position after his hiatus, but then he does this. Imagine the bidding war going on for rights to this stuff. And he's so secretive about his shows, he makes people leave their phones in locked bags, apparently. It's crazy. He's such a boss. Isn't that nice? Dave Chappelle, MVP. That's from Leighton. He says it's just the best show he's seen.
So essentially, he's getting paid for something that he did years ago as well.
Great.
The two shows that he got banged.
Genius.
And everyone wants Dave Chappelle now. That was something that I've noticed. Even at the Oscars this year, he had this 5 minutes to stand up and just do a little set. Similarly, at the Grammys as well, they called him. So he's in demand, $60 million richer. Like,
Amazing.
It's sweet to be Chappelle.
I love that. It's just real talent doing its thing, right? Mm.
And striking the right deals with the right people.
Right. But remember, he went off the grid. He was here in South Africa for a little bit, among other places.
Mm.
Just chilling in Durban. You could have bumped into Dave Chappelle if you went out in Durban.
Yeah.
You never know.
I still think about his story often and why he walked away from the Dave Chappelle show. And that's how fame scares me. To think that he was at his peak.
Yeah, but that's when you've got to walk.
Successful show.
That's what makes him so brilliant. You don't walk when you're starting to slide. You walk when you're at the top of your game. And everybody goes, no, don't go. And you're like, yeah, I'll be back. I got my own plans.
Keep them wanting more.
Right.
It's such a risk.
It's amazing.
Sometimes we can just bat an eyelid and we forget you ever were there.
All right, bunch of things. First of all, I see, Ben started telling us all about this Warner de Kock situation. Well, South Africans are busy preparing for the PE test. And I don't normally speak about sport, but this is everywhere. And friends of mine are messaging each other. So apparently a whole lot of South African fans at the PE test are going to be ready to go against Warner. So they're going to sing this to the tune of 100 Bottles of Beer on the Wall.
Uh-oh.
David Warner's over the hill. He came second to Sonny Bill. His wife got jolly, sucked Sonny Bill's lolly. David Warner's over the hill. They're going to be singing that. Then they're going to be singing this to Daddy Cool. Davy's wife gets her fill by shagging Sonny Bill. Her husband's 4 foot tall, so she needs Sonny Bill. She's in a cubicle waiting for Sonny Bill. Sonny Bill, Sonny Bill. She's shagging Sonny Bill. Sonny, Sonny Bill. Davy lacks the skills. People. And then they've made a sign in PE. Hey, Warner, can Sonny Bill Williams borrow your box again?
Okay.
I think so get ready.
Nothing worse than a rowdy sports crowd.
Sure.
But this is what
people love to do, right? They love to do this because this makes the game way more interesting. They'll be more focused on David Warner now than they will be on the sport itself. It's great.
And now the pressure he feels going out there to play?
Correct. Huge. All right. Hey, beautiful people, says Rusty. Gareth, I heard you mentioned you spoke with Jordan B. Peterson. Was it an actual interview that we can listen to? That would be epic. Lots of love, Rusty. Yes, Rusty, we will be playing that out next week. Next week. He was actually featured in the New York Times this week, so he's a hot property right now.
Oh.
Oh, Jordan Peterson. All right. And then later on, we also have a replay of an interview we did last year. With Marco Brocato, all about his story. It's just the most harrowing story about drug addiction. It's called Rocks. And he talks about how he was selling stuff that he stole from his parents so he could pay for his habit. Mm. He went to rehab. He's now married. He's turned his life around. Met the girl of his dreams. Fixed everything. He's in business. Fascinating story. You can listen to all of that just after 8 o'clock this morning. So, put it in your diary. Justice at 7, and then this Marco Brocato discussion at 8, the conversation we had together. And get your diary ready, because there's going to be a lot more. All right, I don't know if you were paying any attention to the news yesterday, or whether you've been listening to what's been happening in the country. Apparently, Malusi Gigaba was meant to appear in Parliament yesterday to answer questions about the Gupta's nationality. Because remember, he was Minister of Home Affairs. Anyway, there's so much noise. The DA, John Steenhuisen, said he thinks Malusi Gigaba has lied about being sick because he said he was sick. That's why he couldn't come to Parliament.
Oh.
Of course he was lying. I mean, he didn't have an answer because remember, 2 days ago he said, no, I do not have, because he's got this weird way of speaking. It's like he over-enunciates.
But he's a rapper, We're going to be right. We're going to be all right.
When he was pretending to be finance minister and then 2 days later was replaced.
Which finance minister puts rap lyrics in there?
What a joke. You're a joke.
With some hand movements too.
You're a puppet. Like you were there from Zuma and the Guptas were controlling your strings, dude. Get over yourself. Anyway, Malusi Gigaba, when they asked him about this at some press conference, he said, no, he never ever met the Guptas to speak about nationalization or giving them a passport or giving them South African IDs. Then, a day later, his stooge, imagine a puppet's puppet. So, if you could picture this, you could see the Guptas controlling Zuma, Zuma controlling Malusi, and Malusi's puppet is his spokesperson, Maihlome Tshwete. All right, so Maihlome, who's the fourth generation of puppet, goes out and says, no, when he said this, he was speaking in his personal capacity, not as Minister of Home Affairs. So they're trying to cover up now, because clearly a deal was done with the Guptas. Oh. Yes, it's a mess. So we know he's a liar. So John Steenhuisen says he's not sick. We saw him in Parliament. He was here like an hour ago. He was wandering around. He's fine.
Mm.
Floyd and Buyiseni from the EFF, they get up. They start saying this guy is a pathological liar.
The EFF.
Malusi Gigaba. Mm. No, the EFF is saying Malusi is a pathological liar. So what does the speaker do? Throws him out.
So the speaker's also avoiding everything
right
now.
Well, you know the EFF. They tend to get excited and then things don't always go right.
Because Gigaba was or is still in Cape Town.
Yeah, he's fine. He was spotted in the parliamentary precinct yesterday morning, the day he was meant to arrive in Parliament to talk. He was spotted there and then suddenly he's...
Yeah.
Now you know he's going to go to some client doctor to get a sick note.
Yes, because
he's going to have to prove that.
That's what the DA is demanding as well.
They want a sick note.
A sick note. But, wow. But I don't know why they don't bring this doctor, because you know there's going to be some crooked doctor who signs this for Malusi. They must bring him in and say, okay, well, how did you test him?
Oh,
they must interrogate and cross examine this doctor. Because you know Malusi made this up. He's like, oh, shit, I'm between a rock and a hard place. They're about to bust me for lying.
It's like they're back in high school.
It is like high school,
you missed,
right?
You bunked a day of school, and now your teacher demands a letter, and you're like, damn it.
It's like that, and then you've got these other people going, he's telling the lies.
Yes.
And then you've got another person going, he's a pathological liar. It's like school.
But to me, it doesn't sound so far-fetched, because, I mean, if you are at work
and
you miss a day, legally, you're required to come back with something that proves, like, so these people are working as well.
They work for us.
Dare I say, the highest office in the land. So why can't, I think a doctor's nurse is the least we should demand. I mean, he could have Skyped in from his bed. Like, okay, I'm sorry. Excuse me while I drink some mid lemon and let me carry on with my statement.
In any case, I don't believe a word of it. He's fine. He's fine.
Of course he is.
It's ridiculous.
He's just buying time and trying to worm and turn things around.
Correct. So anyway, this is all unfolding in Parliament as we speak. And then they were grilling Sean Abrahams yesterday, and he and Matakata, who's now the, what is her position, like Deputy National Public Prosecutor? I don't know but she's saying that suddenly the wheel started turning when Cyril became president, or when it looked like Jacob Zuma was about to fall. Suddenly Sean's brain switched on. Sean is like, no, my brain was always on. How dare you say that this Office of National Director of Public Prosecutions has been politicized? He lives in a different universe. Sean the sheep. So, I mean, who can we trust, Mubs?
Not a single soul.
Not one of them, right?
Not anybody, ever.
Yes. So disappointing.
Well, where was your bar in the first place? Where were your expectations now that you're disappointed?
The bar is where Batabile Dlamini is at the moment.
Give her some slack. It's 6:27. She's still passed out from last night. She'll only hit the bar in 2 hours.
I would love to just go out one night in Joburg, like in Bramfontein or something, and see Batabile with one elbow on the bar. Almost sort of lolling from one side of her seat to another. Like those drunk people who don't know they're drunk. You know, the ones who slide left and right the whole time.
Yes, can't even keep their balance, even though they're like sturdy and seated.
Like that aunt of yours.
My grand aunt, yes.
Yeah, that one.
Tabitha.
The one who meets you in a dressing gown and stuff, right?
With a nipple popping out of the little tear that she still has.
She's probably better as a minister of women and children and people with disabilities than Batabile.
Absolutely. You should see her at a family function. She knows how to rule everyone around. God, Tabitha would be great.
All right, we're going to get to the five things you need to know in just a second. But, you know, we've been trying to come up with ways to make your listening experience even more pleasurable. And one of the ways we've done that is to invent our own pair of podcast wireless earphones. So we're making it convenient for you to listen to us. And, you know, we've got this limited edition Cliff Central unwired earphone set that we have put out on the market. We've created these. They could support any smartphone, laptop, or tablet. You can listen to podcasts, music, videos. You could take phone calls with them. They've got over 10 hours of battery life. They've got a built-in microphone, 3-button controller, and an ergonomic design so it doesn't fall out of your ears when you're exercising. Plus, brilliant sound and build quality. The Cliff Central unwired earphones. They are the perfect match to your favorite podcasts. Have you been using yours, Mubs?
Yes.
Good. What do you think of them?
No. They're really cool. Took them out for a spin on the treadmill the other day. Lots of fun.
They only cost 550 rands. And you can discover more by visiting cliffcentral.com. Did you test yours out yesterday, Sia?
I'm already kind of showing off because I had some guests over for dinner last night.
Oh.
And it was that whole fin attachment thing that you can put on, especially if you are doing something active, which of course I was not.
No.
But I was showing off the entire little devices and the pockets that they fit into. It's awesome.
All right, well, you've got to try them and let us know what you think. Go and buy yourself a pair. Buy a pair for somebody for a birthday or for a present, a surprise. You can go and get them on cliffcentral.com. You can also get them on takealot.com. And they're available right now for you and for anyone who needs a pair of really good Bluetooth-connected wireless earphones. I like the way that they switch off when you clip the back together because they've got magnetic.
Ooh.
You know, the opposite side to the piece you put in your ear? If you clip them together, it switches off, so it saves you battery power. And when you unclip them, they switch on again.
This is nifty.
Yeah, very nifty. And then when around your neck and they clip together, they don't fall off. It's great. All right, let's get into the five things you need to know. Mubs, over to you.
Well, let's talk about more lies coming out of Home Affairs. Home Affairs is really a confusing place to be right now because it's very difficult for everyone to keep up to date with how the script keeps changing. So yesterday, the Electoral Commission of South Africa confirmed that a certain Atul Gupta is indeed a registered voter on the South African voters roll.
Oh.
And this was after Malusi had said, no, these guys are not South African citizens because...
These are lies. This is garbage. This is filth. Oh.
But the IEC chief deputy chair, Teritzelane, said Gupta was properly registered at a primary school in Saxonwold. He said voters must be South African citizens and in possession of a barcoded ID or smart card for that to be the case. So during a press conference on Tuesday, Gigaba had said that the controversial Gupta brothers were not South African citizens because they refused to renounce their Indian citizenship. But then it all got a little bit confusing when the deputy chair of the IEC said, but these guys are on the voters roll, so they must be citizens.
You're on the voters roll. I mean, I know people who've lived in this country for 10, 15, 20 years. They're from Botswana or from Zim or from Malawi, and they don't have citizenship. These guys just got it like that?
Well, yeah. If you have the right connections, then you can just get it like that.
Don't like it.
Don't like it one bit.
Uh-uh.
So then there was a lot of back and forth, and then, you know, Home Affairs had to backtrack and come back and say, yes, Atul is actually a South African citizen. It's just a mess.
Uh-huh.
It's I cannot even imagine the kind of briefings that they're going to be having at Home Affairs today, because people need to all now stick to the same story and make sure that they don't contradict each other to avoid this embarrassment.
Just send them all away. Just if you've lied more than twice, you must be fired.
Oh, even twice is a stretch.
I mean, you're lying. You know, you're not lying about unimportant things here. These are important things. We're trying to prove. The whole country is trying to get evidence so we can put this chapter behind us. But we need to send some people to jail. And the people who need to go to jail ultimately are the people who captured the state. Now, that includes these three brothers, these scoundrels, these Guptas, the people who gave them access. And that includes ministers, the president's son, all these people who are doing deals with them. And I'm afraid it includes our shiny Minister of Home Affairs, Malusi Gigaba, who clearly was the one who facilitated not only this citizenship thing that we're busy talking about now, but their access into the till that is state enterprises, because he was Minister of Public Enterprise. He's a crook. Malusi Gigaba has got, he's got all the his hands were in the till. And he was handing it to the Guptas. He's not even a good thief for himself. He didn't. He was a thief. He was an agent for the Guptas. And that Atul Gupta might have been able to vote in our elections is shocking. Bad enough he chose the president, but and a couple of ministers like Des van Rooyen. We know that Fakey Mentor says she would have become a minister if she'd just played along. Abisi Jonas said he went to their house and they offered him a bag full of cash. So bad enough they were choosing our cabinet ministers, they could have voted as well.
As it turns out, yes.
And then when we ask Malusi about this, a straightforward question, he could have said yes and explained his reasons, even if they were crooked. Instead, he says no.
Yes.
And then they backtrack and say, oh, yes, sorry, you were right. And you were right the whole time. Yes, the answer is yes.
This isn't a complicated thing to figure out.
It's time for him to go. It's time for his whole rotten apparatus to fall apart. I don't want to hear any more explanations from Mahlomo Tshwete either. I don't want to hear him covering for Malusi, embarrassing himself and the nation. Just stop it. Get out of here, you amateurs. You rank amateurs. You're a laughing stock. It's time for you to move on.
Oh, well,
nobody respects you anymore. Nobody. I mean, Malusi, please. This was our finance, in inverted commas, our finance minister. Imagine how the world, when he walks onto the stage, says, guys, invest in South Africa. Imagine how they laugh behind his back. Do me a favor. Get out. What else is in the news?
Regulations to ban smoking in all public spaces, remove branding from cigarette packs, and even control electronic cigarettes will be published in the next 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
This was according to the Department of Health Director General Precious Matsoso, who was speaking on the sidelines of the World Conference on Tobacco or Health. It opened for the first time in Africa yesterday. 2 years ago, the health minister, Aaron Motsoaledi, indicated that government wanted to introduce the new regulations. But then yesterday, they admitted that South Africa had actually lagged behind in its fight against tobacco control. So they even want to control where you smoke your e-cigarette, which, a lot of people, like, they'll just kind of, like, whip it out, even if they're in a public space or even inside a building sometimes, and they'll just start puffing away. But yeah, within 2 weeks, they're saying that these regulations to ban all of this stuff will now be published.
Mubs, what is this this fixation that we have with smokers? I know smoking is bad. I know that breathing in secondhand smoke is bad. I've never been a smoker in my life, so I don't have a problem with people who do. But it seems like such a witch hunt. Like, we have real problems in this country. You could just have a whole bunch of people die from polonies. That's real. 180 people just died from actual ingestion of a dangerous bacterium, this listeriosis thing. We've got the whole of KwaZulu-Natal, which has got major problems in terms of its health department, that you cannot get treatment. You can't even get diagnosed with cancer in the whole of KwaZulu-Natal at the moment if you're in the public health sector. in the Northwest, Supramahumapelo and his cohorts are still giving the Guptas money through a system of clinics. Clinics which are meant to treat people in the Northwest who have health problems. And Arun Motsoaledi is going after the low-hanging fruit of cigarettes. And haven't cigarettes been punished enough? I love the way government will take 70-80% of the price of a box of cigarettes as tax. So they want that money, but they want to criticize people who smoke. You can't have their money and criticize them. If people want to smoke, they're going to smoke. I've never been persuaded by a tobacco ad. We were talking about this the other day. Why is tobacco so demonized and alcohol isn't?
Alcohol is also demonized.
Not to the degree of cigarettes.
No, what I mean, they put an age limit on when you can start drinking.
But even in, I think what Gareth is saying in terms of society as well.
And we go out on a Thursday, Friday, Saturday night and people drink.
Mm.
And they don't have to drink in a specific place. And all the non-drinkers get the rest of the room.
True.
You know what I mean? It's like, it's almost like...
Yeah, but do you really want to be sitting next to a smoker?
No, I understand that. I don't like smoke either. But this seems to be such a waste of the health department's time. We've got real problems. Cigarettes already, you can't smoke in, 90% of places now?
I don't know what that number is, but this next regulation wants to ban it in all public spaces. And I honestly don't know which remaining public spaces you are still allowed to smoke. I mean, I know that if you in a corporate environment, they'll probably have a designated area for the smokers at work.
Mm.
But as far as going out to restaurants or to shopping malls, you're simply not allowed to smoke there anymore.
And that's fine. I think that's sensible, because why should we expose people like you and me who don't smoke, Sia, to cigarette smoke? But it feels to me almost like smokers have made the free choice that they want to smoke, and now they must be sent to another room. And that's weird. The whole thing is just very odd. And this obsession, this mad obsession that the health department has had virtually since day one about smoking just isn't there for obesity, which of course is costing our health sector way more than smoking is. You know, they always go on about the cost of smoking to the health department. The cost of obesity. I mean, why not ban food and people who overeat? Why not put people who overeat in a separate room? Imagine what we would call that. We'd call it discrimination. No, it's just like what's good for the goose is good for the gander here. And I don't say that as a smoker. I'm not a smoker. I don't care about that. From the point of view, I don't want to smell like smoke. I don't like it when people blow smoke in my face. It's rude. But this is such an obsession.
See, I think what authorities have when it comes to smoking is the likes of the health justifications. You know, someone drinking a glass of wine or a beer next to you isn't going to harm you. You know, someone smoking next to you.
But I mean, come on.
I guess, apart from just the social ills.
The Minister of Health should sit outside and cars and trucks drive past and he could see how much carbon monoxide that is miraculously happens. What is worth... he says, I'm a non-smoker. Use your brain, health department. That's someone on WhatsApp this morning.
True.
Even as a non-smoker, I think this new smoking ban is ridiculous, says Duncan. there's cigarette smoke, you see?
Oh,
sorry, so let me just... I'm just putting it out here.
Even as a non-smoker, they should rather be banning KFC. If you look at how fat some of the people are in Parliament, as I knew that was going to come. Ashley says, Gareth, smoking has definitely killed more people than polony. Of course.
And I was surprised.
Cancer is a big problem. I get that. I don't think we should not ban smoking. I mean, we must ban smoking, but haven't we already done that?
They want to do it some more.
Yeah, but that, what? Because it's one place that the health department managed to get something to happen?
Basically, they want to say that if you are a smoker, you should do it in your house, and that's it.
Oh. Right.
Do it at home.
All right. Well, good for you, Arun Motsoaledi. Look like you're doing something.
No, but just priorities, though.
Yeah, look like you're doing something. Have you ever been into one of our public hospitals? That's where he should be focused. Hmm. The poor people of this country, you have to rely on state hospitals. We were speaking yesterday to One Plan Health about having medical aid and medical insurance. Jesus, if you don't have it and you have to rely on Aaron Motsoaledi's department, good luck to you. That's where he should be focused. Instead, he's worrying about a couple of smokers.
Fuck.
Get your priorities right, dude.
Okay, so from our regulations to America now.
America.
Florida state lawmakers have given the final passage to a gun safety bill that would raise the legal age for buying rifles. They're also going to impose a 3-day waiting period on all firearm sales and allow the arming of some public school employees.
Wow, that'll change everything.
Of course it will. Obviously, this was spurred on by the shooting rampage 3 weeks ago that killed 17 students and faculty members at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. It also led to an extraordinary lobbying campaign by young survivors of the massacre. But the legislation, while containing a number of provisions that student activists and their parents had embraced, it has left one of their chief demands, which is a ban on assault-style weapons like the one used in the 14th February massacre. And well, then the young man who is implicated in the shootings, well, a Florida grand jury formally indicted him yesterday. That's Nicholas Cruz, on 17 counts of premeditated murder in the first degree.
Is the guy mentally ill? Is he disturbed? I mean, he's the one who pulled the trigger.
Well, they found that he was a member of some supremacist group as well.
Oh, Jesus.
So, you know, he's got all kinds of things working against him.
How about we ban that? You want to ban smoking and guns? How about we ban people who join crappy organizations?
Because they'll still have their crappy meetings in their basements.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So,
on some weird forum.
I suppose it's like
somewhere.
Smoking. They'll do it quietly in the privacy of their own home.
Yes.
Right.
So you can't control everything.
And sometimes you just want to shoot up a bunch of kids in the privacy of your own school.
Sure. You know,
wow, these boundaries are
it's a precarious position that lawmakers try to find themselves in, because obviously the whole point of the matter is to set rules for us to follow by, but you can't control everything and everyone.
And bad people will do their best to break rules no matter how many rules you make, right?
Oh! Yeah.
All right.
How do you feel about the idea of getting drunk from Coca-Cola?
Oh, sorry, I thought another type of Coke, but okay.
No, I could see it goes straight for the hard drug.
That would be
is
getting
Coca-Cola
high.
Infusing alcohol?
Coca-Cola is planning to produce an alcoholic drink.
Jesus, I knew you had my back.
For the first time.
I could see it. He's so excited.
In the company's 125-year history, with an Alco-Pop-style product. For now, only in Japan. I don't know why Japan are the ones who get to test it out. But hey, it's keen to cash in on the country's growing taste for Chuhi. It is a canned sparkling flavored drink given a kick with a local spirit.
Oh. Well, it's probably because Japanese people are kind of responsible. They're not going to immediately get hammer drunk and start breaking shit down.
As opposed to what?
As opposed to the rest of the world.
Are you kidding? We would be so out of control. Imagine if people could buy Coca-Cola with alcohol and already mixed.
Yeah.
The product is typically between 3 and 8%. This is now this Japanese product that Coke are trying to emulate.
That's not a lot.
And 8% is not a lot.
Is it?
That's like...
But vodka has like 40%.
Ciders and beers have like 5%.
Oh, jeez, vodka's potent.
I drink tequila at 34%. Boom.
It's a spirit. I mean, you know, this is going to be, this is not exactly going to be like having your gin, no. It would still be like having a cider or a light beer.
But can we bump the cheese up? I feel like Coke is sleeping on, we're giving them free ideas here, but they're sleeping on manufacturing their own brandy and Coke in a bottle already made.
Can you imagine how certain people in this country would love a pre-mixed brandy and Coke? There was one for a while. I remember seeing something on the shelves that was already mixed brandy and Coke. I cannot stand brandy.
Oh my gosh. It's
really?
It's revolting.
Even yeah. with Coke?
Well, the Coke goes flat almost immediately, right?
Yeah.
And then you're drinking this like syrupy... Ugh, it's gross.
Guys, I didn't know.
And then it gets stuck in the back of your throat. Nah. And it just coats the back of your throat. And then you want to throw up after like a certain number of those. It is revolting.
That's my drink of choice in a club.
No, I'm with Mabs.
You're just sipping on that the entire evening in between shots.
No, thank you. No, we don't like it.
I've never seen this reaction in YouTube before.
You sure are funny, man.
Well, he knows all about brandy and Coke, that guy.
He definitely does.
All right. Is that the five things we need to know?
Yeah. We can leave it at there for now.
Okay. Well, let's move on to some other things then, because we've got to look at cryptocurrency, which fell through the fucking toilet bowls.
Jeez.
Everything's down. Ethereum's down to $744. It was at $800. In fact, it started getting close to $1,000, and now it's at $744. Bitcoin, $9,744. It was doing so well not so long ago. Let me tell you, it reached a peak of 11,491, and then it's just gone down, down, down. Ethereum Classic saw a major reversal, all the way from $36.54 down to $21. That's huge. Ripple is barely alive at 0.840. Remember, it reached its peak of something like $2.59. Now it's at $0.8. So you don't even want to know. The only one that's managing to maintain some kind of decorum here is Monero, which is at $308. But remember, just a couple of days ago, it was $358. So don't you know what you got to do? Just close your eyes. You don't want to know what's going on in the cryptocurrency market at the moment. It's a disgrace. We would normally have Ben at this point. He's in fan court, remember? He's busy playing golf and interviewing Gary Player and basically Ben stuff.
Yes. Ben sport and Ben stuff.
Ben stuff. So we can't, there's no other way to put it.
Yeah.
And if you want to know more, then don't worry. He's going to give us an update tomorrow morning. He said he's up early this morning. He's off to do some drone filming, to play around, to warm up on the course.
Ben stuff.
So he'll be talking to us tomorrow, and we'll get a full breakdown of what he's up to. And I'm sure he's very excited about that PE cricket match between South Africa and Australia, because there's so much going on off the field that makes it exciting. So, Sia, do you want to give us Said by Sia?
It's already 10 minutes to 7.
Don't forget Justice Malala and the Burning Platform coming up. Everybody's favorite part of a Thursday, where you get to hear from South Africa's foremost, most eminent political analyst and commentator about how everything does or doesn't make sense in this amazing country of ours. But first, let's give our attention to Sia. We need a little injection of positivity this morning. Take it away.
This really just made me feel so good hearing about this in the midst of what we've been hearing in the news. But right now, generous South Africans are starting to dig deep into their own pockets to help promising triathlon competitor Hlengi Gwala pay for his medical treatment he requires after the gruesome attack, of course, we've heard by now, by those handsaw-wielding criminals. So a crowdfunding initiative was announced on Facebook as people have expressed their sadness at the attack on the triathlete, while sending him best wishes and a speedy recovery. Like, people, you guys are actually amazing, because originally the bar was set for 100,000 rands for funds to be raised in order to help Mhlengi. But currently, as I refresh the website page, even right now, the donations to date stand at 227,406 rands, and just for extra effort, and 77 cents. Mm. So this is all going straight to Mhlengi himself. Because people are actually saying, we want you to focus on yourself, on your recovery. And as the title on the donation site says, get Mhlengi back on his bike. So just to add, more to that good news as well. Police are currently still hunting for the three men who attacked Gwala, who's a 27-year-old athlete. And currently, he's in recovery on strong medication to manage the pain and is scheduled for surgery
What a horrible, horrible story. I couldn't believe it when I read that this guy was attacked by people with a blunt chainsaw. For heaven's sake.
Crazy.
Huh?
But look at how, you know, we are more connected than we think and how we actually do care. People have said, you know what, you have this promising future. This is the last thing you need to worry about. We will help you. And have helped to the tune of over 200,000. So really, to everyone who's donated anything to this cause, I think you guys are amazing people.
That's terrific. I'm very, very happy. You see, this is where good people rally together and make a difference. And I know nobody has money lying around. Nobody.
You know, I'm just scrolling through the site. Some people are just donating 100 rands, some people 400 rands, but all of this adds up. There've been some people who've decided to go anonymous. I see some US dollars as well as donations. It's incredible. And I think he absolutely deserves it. And to the guys who did this, I hope you feel good about yourselves.
Yeah, sure. Well, I hope they go to jail and I hope they burn in hell because who attacks someone with a blunt chainsaw and start on one leg and then when it's not working properly, you move on to the other leg? I mean, it's just outrageous. I still think there's something very suspicious about this because this guy makes his living with his legs, right?
And well, he's a triathlete,
So it seems so personal. It seems so vicious and like nobody does this just out of the blue. I mean, unless you're a complete rampaging lunatic, and there are people like that. But we've got to look into this a little more, and I'm not by any means saying that that there's got to be some sensible reason for this. There's no reason in the world you can think of why someone should attack someone else with a chainsaw. But maybe there's an explanation, at least, as to how something like this can happen.
I really won't be surprised if we find out that it's a scorned ex or a jealous family member. It's something so petty.
Yeah, people, isn't it weird how people just, like, they cannot separate their feelings from what is acceptable in the world. I mean, none of us is impervious to this. You're in a relationship and it goes wrong and you're so angry. You lash out, right? I'm not saying that's the case here, but you hear these stories about like an ex who sends another person threatening letters or someone who puts a snake in the postbox.
Just being a stalker following someone.
Exactly. Ruining them on social media. You get those revenge porn videos and that kind of thing. It's so, you've got to control your feelings, man. It's not going to bring that person back, and they're certainly going to love you more when you behave like this. It's very strange.
But yeah, all right. I think it's amazing how we've been able to band together. That's it by Sia today.
I asked Sia yesterday to decide what song we were going to play before Justice came in today, and he went on a mad tear to find something different.
Okay.
So he's been applying his original and creative mind to this. He found something by Jackson Wang called Okay. Do you want to explain what this is?
We were in Hong Kong.
All right.
Just 2 weeks ago, and we were randomly had just come back from going out into the streets, and we switched the TV on in our hotel room, and I was in bed, and I started hearing the song in the background. And we had the MTV Asia on. I was like, hold up, but like we're in the middle of Asia. How does a song sound so good?
Oh, okay.
I really was very ignorant, but it sounds so good. It sounds
Is like, he just a big star there and we don't know about him?
He's massive. So he's we like just Justin Timberlake of Asia.
Are we dumb? We're ignorant.
We do not know about Jackson Wang. He's my new favorite.
Wow, okay. Well, here he is. Listen to this and you decide whether you agree. Jackson Wang with a song called Okay. Big celebrity in China. China.
Blazing up all night, oh. 不管有多无奈, 一直等待, 无所谓, I'll be okay.
This is CliffCentral.com.